This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And during this hour, we're going to take a journey from real people to objects and back again. Go with me here. We're going to try and see in some disturbing stories in the headlines the consequences of what happens when people's lives can be reduced to online images, identities can be manipulated, their humanity drained, how those images can produce a kind of open season on morality. You know, we do this all the time in radio, in a sense. The voices of real human beings, they become little snippets. We actually call them sound.
Thanks very much, Mr. Trump.
I will do everything I can to justify your trust.
Mission more accurate, more universal, too.
$1 trillion bill.
Examples of sound that can be posted in an instant, online. On somebody's voicemail, a playlist, a joke reel, a news reel. That's what the media has always done. But now everyone can do it. Grab a picture, a still picture, a video clip, footage. Even wars can become sound bites. Listen. Real words that would never be said in public, somehow tough and bold sounding on video. Like the voice here of that real boy in Ohio talking about taking advantage of a real unconscious girl last summer at a real party.
She's deader than OJ's wife.
She is deader than Kaylee Anthony.
So what happens when a real person becomes a picture online, an object, a sexual object, downloadable, a toy? Are they not real?
Girls do it to themselves. Half the time we came and blame guys. Like, she was really looking into the camera, smiling.
She wasn't smiling.
There's people that they don't know when they're taking the picture. There's people that don't know they're getting recorded. That's not fair that a guy can actually hide his phone, have sex with you, and record you, and then show it to his friends like, yo, look. They don't care.
Young women talking about the very real experience of being photographed by boyfriends and friends, then seeing those pictures online. This is very real. Young kids talking about the online world and how it turns people into objects and can paint young girls with an identity they may not be able to escape.
I guess I thought it would be cool or something. It took me a day to send it out. And then from a day, it just went around until it finally got back to the school and the teacher saw it.
Did she transfer out of the school after?
Nope. She stayed and continued to be the smut, smitty, slide, skip, scap, scallywap. You know, whore.
These are selections from a radio story done by a reporter who's also a young girl in the middle of this world of objectified images of people. A world that can produce consequences that are permanent, like the sexual assault case of that unconscious young girl in Steubenville, Ohio. But such stories are everywhere.
It was on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, World Star, everything. I came to school hoping that it wouldn't be too big of a deal. I was walking around the school with my hood on, trying to just, like, to get to class. And, like, he was going around holding his head high, saying, oh, well, I was able to do this with her. And he gave me a bad name.
Joining us now is Temiteo Fagbenle, 16 years old. She wanted to find out more about what it's like to be one of those girls exposed. What goes through the boy's mind when he's the one posting photos to get at the real people issues behind the objects and online images. Her report is part of the Radio Rookies Project, which is produced by our co-producer, WNYC. She's right here in the studio. Welcome.
Hey, it's nice to be here with you today.
Well, an amazing reportorial journey to actually get behind what goes on when you see pictures online of a very explicit sexual nature.
Yeah.
But suddenly, they change the identity of the people whose images are posted.
Yeah, it definitely didn't take that much searching on my part because it was happening right in front of me. As you can see, most of the people in my story were people who surrounded me, the teenagers who surrounded me. It's a very current story and in terms of my life and other teenagers' life.
In this online world, when pictures are posted, sexual pictures are posted, is morality out of the picture? Is suddenly there's no rules anymore?
I don't think it's something with morality. It's kind of something that's posted by the postee. They post it to embarrass the girl, and people use morality as a reason to back up their persecution of the girl. I don't think they think about it in terms of that.
So they feel like they're exposing someone's immorality by showing the picture.
Yeah, they feel like it's that's their part to play, that it's imperative of them to take this picture and comment on it and tell the girl that she doesn't deserve to live, to kill herself, to tell her that she isn't worth anything.
What do you think young girls should do in the face of this? You know, it's not so new of a world to you, but to a parent like myself, it sure feels pretty new. What should young girls do? And what should be the consequences for boys who do something like this?
Actually, this many times that people put up sexually explicit videos of a minor, it tends to not be brought to the attention of the police. And even though it is a crime, a lot of the boys who do this aren't prosecuted or even brought up on charges for what they have done. And a lot of girls don't know that they can do this. And I feel like if more girls knew that it actually is a crime to put this on the internet, to put sexually explicit videos of you, of any minor, on the internet, it's a crime. And if more people did that, it would maybe happen less.
As a reporter, did you feel like you succeeded in getting into the mind of some of the young boys and men who do this, understand their justification, what they were thinking when they clicked send?
Yeah, definitely. That the last boy I interviewed, his tone was very joking, and when he spoke about it, so I think that did a lot in explaining how they think about it, that it isn't serious. In their mind, what they're doing to this girl isn't serious, and he thought it was a joke. And to the girl who experienced that, it isn't a joke. It's very real. And it's hard to walk into school and have people look at you and call you a hoe and tell you that, you know, you're not worth anything. And
you know, as a reporter, it's not often that a very local story has global, national implications. How do you think what your reporting project has done here relates to the situation in Steubenville, Ohio, or even the gang rape situation in India and the reflections that are going on gender identities in that country as a nation?
It's all definitely a thing with the idea of women as second-class citizens, that even the idea of a woman as a sexual being, that they should be shamed for being a sexual being, which is what they are. I think that my story sheds a little light on that, you know, as how women and young girls are being persecuted for being sexual.
Well, Temi Teofagbenle, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.